That's what I'm making you to be. Make me into, make me into, make me into your beautiful. Take this shattered pottery, all the brokenness I see, make something beautiful out of me. Make me into, make me into, make me into your beautiful. You were bruised, but I say that you're not broken. You were crushed, but I say you're not torn apart. I say you are, I say you are, I say you are a mosaic work of art. And I will weave together the tapestry, or I will weave together a tapestry from all the threads of your heart. You are my work of art. You are my work of art. You are my work of art. Let me paint you. Let me draw your heart.
Thank you, Esther. Kind of a nice picture that God gives us. So, you guys are, if you want to sit down. So, I just want to share a few things this morning. Kind of love what Brady said last week. I mean, it was really, really neat to hear what he had to say. But one thing he said was, man, it goes, and then Nikki said the same thing. It's so great when you prepare, everything is so great in your mind, and it's like you capture the audience, and it's like, yeah, that's what we want, right? So, I guess it's always like that, but I want to step out of that. I don't want it to be great in my mind. I want it to be a reality and the way I live my life. So I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to get started. Lord, I just thank you for what you are doing in this time. Lord, I thank you that hearts are open to receive the word that you are speaking this morning. I thank you, God, that ears are open to hear it, what it is you are saying. God, so your word says that we would be ready in season and out of season. God, but we can't do these things within ourselves. We have to rely on you. Holy Spirit, we need you. We need you. So right now, fill hearts, fill this place, Holy Spirit. And we thank you. We cast down any confusion this morning, any distraction, Lord, and we make room for you to move. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I was kind of all over this last couple of weeks, and I felt like the Lord was speaking to me very clearly about the heart of David, and you know that everything stems out of our heart, right? Because Proverbs 23, verse 7 says that everything flows, the life flows out of our hearts. So, but the last couple of days, I felt like God just threw a wrench into everything, and he said, well, I don't know, and it's kind of funny because I've been walking alongside a few people this last couple of weeks, and it's kind of interesting. Can you guys hear me? Because I can't hear myself. Just kidding. So what I want to title this, or what I want to ask this morning is, have you found what you have been searching for yet? And that's a question for your heart this morning. Have you found what you've been looking for yet? So I want to read this morning out of John 21. And if you guys bear with me, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, so I know we have it on there. It says, later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they said. So they all went out on the boat, but they caught nothing at all. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. And he called out, fellows, 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 Have you caught any fish yet? They replied, no, we have not. He said to them, throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat and you'll get some. So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish. So I just kind of might go in a little bit too further on, but I just kind of want to start there. And that's the last book of John, John 21, before they go into the book of Acts, before the Lord called them. So the background on this was after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So this last chapter takes place at the Sea of Galilee, where all of a sudden you find Peter and some of the disciples catching fish, and you know they just do what they need to do, because now all of a sudden they're not in Jerusalem anymore. So they're not with Jesus anymore, right? That's gone. That's long gone now. Peter is no longer there with the Lord helping him heal people. Peter is no longer there helping the Lord feeding 5,000 people. He's no longer there. He's no longer there. What is Peter and the disciples doing there at this moment? They're catching fish. Right? They're catching fish. So what was Peter really doing at that time? You know, if you look at the couple of chapters before, or if you know Peter's life at that last bit, he denied the Lord 3 times, right? So how can he be a follower of the Lord? Because he just denied him 3 times. And in our lives, if you sit down and you think about it, in our lives, when we fall short with the Lord, we kind of tend to like arm's length. We're like, well, okay, I've kind of messed up. I need to figure this out first before I can come back, right? Do we agree on that? Because I know I've done that. And it's at times that I still do that. So because I've made God some promises that I failed to do, right? I've said to God, God, I'm one of the guys you can depend on. And long story short, boom, I fall. You know what I mean? But in that time when I fell out with the Lord, the enemy comes in and he's like, well, you see, I told you, you're not dependable. God cannot depend on you. It's not worthwhile praying anymore because he's not really listening. Because if he was, you wouldn't have been in this situation, right? Do you guys agree with me? Shake some heads. Like, everybody's just like, ugh. So we all get to that place where the enemy then says, you know, stop it because God is not listening. Stop it because God is done listening to your excuses all the time, right? Stop it. And then what do? We tend to move back to what we know, right? We tend to take a step back and like, this is a familiar place. Yeah, it's destructive because I have thoughts that does not honor the Lord. I have actions that doesn't honor the Lord. But saying all that, I'm stepping back to these things that became familiar. So in this phrase, or in this particular passage, Peter did the same thing. Peter actually said to himself, I'm actually finished. I disqualify myself because I denied the Lord 3 times. I am not worthy to do these things. And we do the same thing. When we fall short, we do the same thing. And then, like I said, the enemy comes in and he tells us these lies. And you know what we do? We believe them. Right? We believe these lies. They're so deep inside of us because it's something the Lord hasn't shown us yet. He hasn't brought the truth to those things yet, because the lie that we believe is a truth in our lives at that moment. So we tend to move back to that and we believe what the enemy has told us before we got to a place of revelation. So what are the things we move back to? We move back to, like, have you ever heard, If you were in a drinking situation before you got born again, do you ever have the thoughts, well, I'll just go back drinking, you know? And I know it's bad, I'm losing money, but it's what I know to do, you know? It's what I know to do. God can't find me there, or God doesn't really want me, you know? We go back to bad relationships, friend relationships, or, you know, intimate relationships, because it's familiar. It's something we've always done. So we always feel worse when we go to those places, but at least it's a familiar place. It's something we know in ourselves. This is what it is, right? So going back to the story, when Jesus showed up early that morning by the shores of Galilee, and what makes Galilee such an important part of this scripture verse? Because 3 years earlier, Jesus met Peter at the same place, right? So before he became a disciple, Jesus met him here. And then 3 years went by, and all of a sudden, Peter disqualified himself like all of us do. But Jesus is still there. He met him at the same place. So when Jesus showed up in the morning by the shores of Galilee, the disciples had been fishing all night, catching fish, or trying to. So led by Peter, they gone back to what was comfortable. But at the end of the night of returning to their old ways, guess what? It was a very long night of nothing, right? Have you ever been at that place where all of a sudden the things that you know of God, the things that you feel like has been rooted into your heart, all of a sudden it's like it doesn't matter because, you know, it's so far away right now because of my hurt, because of my loss, because of whatever these things are that you can put on your fingertips, right? Because of those things, we are in a place where, well, God doesn't really speak to me, because if he does, like I said, I wouldn't have been here. If God really loved me, this wouldn't have happened. If God did this, this wouldn't have happened. And then we take those lies and we just grab onto them. So, but Jesus called out to them that day and he said, hey guys, did you catch anything, right? I mean, Jesus knew the answer at that time. It's like, did you guys catch anything? And I guess another phrase in nowadays is, hey guys, how's that working out for you, right? How's that working out? What happened, right? Because I know Jesus knew what was happening, but he's like, did that work out for you guys? I mean, and so there's no fruitfulness in that place, you know? There's no fruitfulness in that place, returning back to the ways we came from. But so Jesus came and he offered a solution. Jesus called out, throw your nets on the other side, he said. And you know fishermen, right? If they don't catch anything, they always have an excuse. The bait's wrong. This is wrong. It was a stormy night, or it was full moon and the fish didn't come out. You know how that goes. I know a few fishermen, but not in depths like that, but I can just imagine, right? And here comes Jesus like, hey guys, did you try the other side? And like, seriously? Try the other side. We tried that side, this side, the front side, the back side. We even seen Thomas jumped in with the net, you know? Like, seriously, like, really? You'd say that we try it? So I just imagined the sarcasm that came with that. Oh, yeah, right, that side? Yeah, you mean the right side? Yeah, well, no, we haven't tried that. Well, we're going to try that, you know? And who knows their motivation at that time? Who knows what fed them at that moment? Might they have been hungry for something when Jesus spoke a word? Did that word become something in them that they were hungering after? And all that Jesus said was, throw the net to the other side. So what did they do? They heeded to the word. They listened to the voice that was speaking. And when they did that, all these fish came out, right? The nets was filled up and they couldn't have really pulled it out. So
How many of us are at that stage in our life where we've tried to throw the net out everywhere and nothing is happening, right? How many of us are in that place where we tend to move back and say, God, you're not really there right now. So I'm going to do what I'm doing. I'm comfortable. I know I'm not harming anybody or anything, but I'm comfortable where I'm at, right? I'm there, but I'm walking out of it, right? I'm there. I feel like sometimes it's like, but you promised, God, but it's not happening. Or you promised, God, or why this, why that, God, right? Why this or why that? And then I find myself on this side and like, well, I'm an okay guy, right? I'm friendly when I need to be friendly, and I can talk to anybody that needs to be talked to, and I can try and be that pillar, and you know what I mean? But inside of me is like, I checked out at times, right? We check out, and we think it's okay, and I believe there's seasons for us to be in places like that. I really do. But I believe in those seasons, He's the only one we can count on. He's the only one that needs to fill our heart and not really allowing ourselves to listen to the lies of the enemy. So when Jesus stands before you this morning, His message is, I know where the fish is. He knows where the fish is. I know exactly what you are looking for. And I know exactly where you can get it, is what the Lord is saying this morning. Jesus says, if you are looking for a friendship, He knows where you can get that. If you are looking for acceptance, He knows where you can get that. Jesus says, if you are looking for meaning in life, I know where that is. He says that if you are looking for healing, I know where that is too. If you are looking for significance, I know where that is. Jesus says, if you are looking for security, He knows where that is. And if you are looking for satisfaction, He too knows where that is. So I want you guys to just listen to those things and purposefully in your heart, look at where you're at this morning. If you're on the boat trying to catch something, and you haven't done it, and you're back into your old ways, and whatever that is, there's no judgment here. Wherever that is, there's no judgment. But I feel like this is a season where the Lord is saying, hey guys, let's get rid of this. Let's get rid of this. I'm digging wells. I'm digging the things back. I'm opening up things for you to see that I truly am who I say I am. And He knows the answers, right? So He exactly knows where you're at this morning. So right now, He's asking the same question He asked Peter and the disciples. How is the old way, going back to the old way, how is that working out for you this morning? How is that place where you're at, or where you step back to, how is that working out for you? Because I don't want to put my head on a block, but I know that it's not working out. We think we're getting healed. We think we're getting free. We think we do all these things, but in reality is we're just a part of the enemy's prey, right? He just comes in and he just continuously fill us with lies, and those are the lies that God wants to make truth in our lives, show us truth. He is giving us the opportunity to form words in our heart and mind to affirm the reality of what's happening in this season. He wants us to know that where we're at in the season, He wants to validate that. He wants to say, I know it's hard. I know you've lost somebody. I know you're in a place where you don't want to be. I know that. I want to validate that. I want to say, yes, I know. But once we affirm that reality, then we allow God to come in and restore us and bring healing and bring satisfaction and bring significance and bring security and all these things that we need. So that moment when we speak truth and answer Jesus, I actually don't have anything. I actually am miserable right now. If we can really be honest, gut level honest with ourselves and allow the Lord in that place, then Jesus can come in and help us and restore us in those places. I love what happens next in the story. When the disciples' net was filled up, John was the first one to recognize the Lord on the shore. Peter, always the impulsive one, jumped into the water and swam ashore. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net of fish. It was so full they couldn't pick it up over the boat's edge. Why did Peter want to get to shore ahead of all the others? He was still the hard-driving disciple trying to work his way back into grace. We don't need to work for anything, guys. Even in our situation, even in a place where we step back for a while, we don't have to work for grace. We just need to accept it. We need to validate where we're at. We need to be true in our heart with God and allow Him to come in and restore and heal us through that area. You know, I wonder what Jesus was thinking, because I think when Peter went up to Him, he was like, oh Lord, I've missed You, this and the other, but I can still count on You. You can still count on Me. You can still count on Me. You can still count on Me. And I wonder what the Lord was thinking. Maybe something like, man, Peter, don't you still get it? Don't you get it? I can't count on You. I cannot count on You to do anything, really, because You have to abide in Me and I abide in You. And through Me abiding in You, that makes that account. Then that is the only thing I can count on, you know. But I believe he said to Peter, there is good news, Peter. You can count on Me. And that's what I want to present this morning. When we find ourselves in those places where we've believed God for things and we've trusted God for things and we've held on for things, you know, and we haven't seen them happen. We've seen things happen. We've seen destruction come. And it's like, God, why are You not hearing us? Why are You not stepping in? We step back and we get to that place of just mellowing out and just having a pity party, but not really in front of people, but just being at that place. I believe God says that the only one we can count on this morning, or we can count on Him, right? So my prayer today is to allow the Lord to become your reality. And I'm not saying He's not, but I pray that you would see yourself where you're at today and be honest. So my prayer is, God, open our hearts to ourselves so we can see where we're at. And this is no judgment, guys. I'm not judging. I'm going through it myself. I'm trying to encourage you to allow the Lord into that place, into wherever you're at, and have Him be the reality in that area. And then He'll allow you or allow Him to show you that in all of our stuff, we can trust on Him. So that's the encouraging word this morning I want to leave with you, is wherever you're at, back here, right here, a little forward from where I'm at, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is that God is willing, able to restore from where we are, or restore where we are to where we need to be. So just know that we can count on Him. So that's the word for this morning, and I just want to leave you guys with that. So that's it. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. And I'll just ask God to bless us in that area. Lord, we just thank You for what You are saying. God, I pray that every heart here heard what Your heart was saying. So, Lord, the reality of who You are, would that penetrate the areas that we've fallen short, God? I thank You that You are all for us, God, and not against us. that your heart is to restore and not to break down. So, Lord, we just give way to the move of who you are, to your love and to your grace. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.